coming up on Only a Game, climbing frozen waterfalls in Ouray, Colorado. But first, I'm joined by Charlie Pierce for our discussion of the week's news. Hello, Charlie.
How do you suppose they cheer for the high school football team in Ouray, Colorado?
As in Ouray.
Hooray, Ouray?
It sounds good to me.
Ramalama ding dong?
I am told, speaking of cheering, that there are two significant football games to transpire this weekend. Which teams will win them, thereby earning the opportunity to be part of this nation's most popular television program on February the 1st?
American football, too, Bill. Mm-hmm. I think that this is going to be the greatest victory for chalk since the last time I clapped the erasers in fifth grade. That is a really terrible piece of writing right there, and I hope people immortalize it on audio tape. Anyway, Seattle and the Patriots are going to play.
Okay. Roger Goodell has granted the Colts' request to place linebacker Josh McNary on the commissioner's exempt list. After McNary was accused of rape and other serious charges, he pleaded not guilty this week. This is the first time a player has been put on the list under the NFL's new personal conduct policy. Does this move signal progress for the league?
It's the day of Jubilee, Bill. What can I tell you? No, I mean, I think it signals progress for teams who want these kind of problems off their hands and for the commissioner's office who wants their PR disaster off its hands.
Newly ensconced Buffalo Bills head coach Rex Ryan has announced that he intends to build a bully in Buffalo, and that is a triumph of alliteration. Any chance the Bills will also be triumphant on the field?
Well, he's already halfway there because Buffalo has a very young and very talented defense, which is exactly Rex Ryan's specialty. It's kind of a small room for him, though. I mean, he's going to be inundated by the national press for a while because he's good copy. But come next November or December, he's still going to be in Buffalo.
Nate Silver, that master prognosticator behind the statistics blog 538, has figured out that Eli Manning is, quote, the most clutch postseason quarterback of all time. So does this settle the NFL's most glamorous sibling rivalry?
No, not really, but it's an interesting point of discussion. He has performed admirably in the two times that the Giants have gotten to the Super Bowl. Particularly, he's performed admirably against the New England Patriots.
Charlie, since we last spoke, the Ohio State University Buckeyes upended the University of Oregon in the first college football championship game. Were you surprised the Buckeyes held the Ducks' normally high-flying offense to a measly 20 points?
No, and I'm really not surprised that they were able to run over the Oregon speed rather than power defense for 42. I don't know. I realize, Bill, that American football is not your specialty, but when your team is, like, bigger and stronger than the other guys, generally you win.
Pushing people out of the
Pushing people out of the way is a very good technique to winning national championships.
That championship game was a triumph for ESPN and also for folks in the furniture and dumpster businesses in Columbus, Ohio. Explain, please.
Well, they tore down the goalpost, even though they didn't have the game in Columbus, and they also set 89 fires. But ESPN got tremendous ratings. It was the most watched show in cable television history.
It took 19 days, but Tommy Caldwell and Kevin Jorgensen have free-climbed the world's biggest granite monolith, which is a rock formation known as the Dawn Wall on El Capitan in Yosemite, because it was there?
Yeah, this is an amazing. Free-climbing this thing, I mean, people who are familiar with the Star Trek series of movies will remember that Captain Kirk was attempting to free-climb El Capitan at the beginning of one of them. This is a remarkable thing, and apparently the first thing that goes when you're free-climbing the Dawn Wall of El Capitan is your fingertips. You have to take special care of your fingertips.
The Australian Open begins this week, Charlie, but at the Brisbane International Tennis Tournament last weekend, Roger Federer had what he termed a special day. How so? This guy's won 17 Grand Slam tournaments. What's the big deal about winning the Brisbane International?
He won his 1,000th match of his career, which makes him the only player besides Jimmy Connors and Yvonne Lendl to do that.
We spoke last week of the newest inductees in baseball's Hall of Fame. Next month, the National Soccer Hall of Fame will welcome the player who made not 100, not 200, not 300, but 352 appearances for the U.S. team. Name that record holder, please.
Christine Lilly.
Exactly right.
And terrific. And Bob Bradley is going to go in, too, who's a very nice man and was a pretty good U.S. national coach and did not get treated very well. So that's a good thing, too. But Christine Lilly, 352 caps, right? Is
yes,
that the way we
exactly
say it?
Exactly right.
Well, that's a lot of caps. That's
it is indeed.
That's like that story of the monkey up in the tree who throws the hats.
No, you know? It's not.
It's not at all.
It's like
okay.
The story about the greatest soccer player the women's
well,
team
it's
has
like
ever
that
seen.
Too.
The Canadian Museum of History has acquired what they've described as the world's oldest known hockey stick, and it dates to the 1830s. How long before somebody in Flin Flon or Moose Jaw goes up in the attic and finds an older one?
Oh, I guarantee you, either that or there's one frozen in the ice in Rankin Inlet. But this is a terrific story. This Mark Presley guy bought the stick from a barber shop for $1,000, and has turned it over for $300,000 to the museum's National Collection Fund.
And finally, Charlie, the Phoenix Suns are planning to give fans a big foam hand in order to celebrate the excellence of Gerald Green, who's averaging a little over 13 points a game this season. But how will fans know that the foam hand was inspired by Mr. Green?
It only has four fingers on it, Bill, because that's all Gerald Green has on his dunking hand. He lost a finger actually dunking a basketball when he was young, and now he's got... You know, he's got the most unique foam finger in basketball history, and good for him.
And someday, somebody will haul it out of the attic, and it will be put into a museum somewhere.
That's right, it'll be in a barbershop.
Just like that old hockey stick.
On Cape Breton.
You can find the sports writing of Charlie Pierce at Grantland, and of course he joins me each week on Only a Game as well. Thank you, Charlie.
Thank you, Bill.